Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Okay, so listen. We care about you guys that believe you, mate, and we want you to have an amazing time with your partner, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that is being used by 1 million men and is clinically proven to make you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity, you know, it brings those levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. There's no prescriptions, no mess, and no pesky subscriptions required, just better sex guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. Lewis, I know you've been using this and you really love this product.
Yeah, look, I love it. I'll tell you right now. So here's the thing, you got this is a little science now. Time for Dr. Gomez to come in and let you know something.
Let's go.
It takes the average woman 18 minutes to climax, the average man less than 5 minutes to climax. Okay, so there's a huge gap right there, huge gap, and you want to close that gap. And Promescent allows you to last longer, to pleasure your partner that much better in the bedroom.
All right, so see what the buzz is about for yourself and go ahead and grab yourself a bottle along with all your sexual wellness products from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and many, many more, all in one trusted spot that ships fast and, of course, discreet. All you got to do is go to promescent.com. How do you spell that? Promescent, P-R-O-M-E-S-C-E-N-T. Promescent.com. They've got an assortment of products to make your sex life better. And if you use the promo code BELIEVE, you're going to get 15% off your purchase and free shipping. So once more, promo code is BELIEVE when you go to promescent.com. We're going to give you 15% off. We're going to give you free shipping. And of course, your sex life will be enhanced. Okay, let's start the show.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right. Friday afternoon, which is a little bit late for us. I do apologize. That's my fault this time. Typically, UFC fighter commentating meetings are on a Wednesday. This time, because of the contender, they switched it to a Thursday, so we couldn't do it yesterday. I know a few people have been bitching online and stuff like that. We appreciate the passion, but still, we're here. Welcome to the show, Luis J. Gomez. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good, man. Shout out to all the believers that have been coming out on the road lately. They're such a, I always can tell when they're like fans of this show because they're nice people. Just nice people. Legion of Skanks crowd, they're all in black. They're just savages. They're all dirty looking. They look like heavy metal fans. The believers are wearing button down shirts. They got nice looking girlfriends. They got wives wearing nice pair of shoes, a watch.
I don't know. I saw a few of them outside the Comedy Store on Monday night, came in to watch your set and your show that you put on. Very, very funny, by the way. Great stuff. So if you get a chance to watch Lewis, make sure you check him out. But yeah, there was a few of them out there with, you know, they had some Believe You Me shirts on. Very, very nice people, like you say, but they don't quite match the description that you had. You know, they didn't have nice girlfriends. They weren't dressed very well. They had killer T-shirts on, which are available at bymmerch.com. Very, very nice people. But still, a certain Harrington-esque quality to them.
That is true. It is a lot of beards, a lot of bellies, a lot of bald heads, a lot of dirty elbows.
I didn't check out the elbows, funnily enough. Yeah. But how was your week? How's that been? I saw you Monday. As I say, great show. What have you been up to all week?
Yeah, it's traveling a lot right now. I've been, getting back into doing comedy on the road, writing a bunch of new material, getting out there, rubbing elbows with people. But it is, I don't want to talk about the Delta variant. Don't want to talk about COVID. No. It's been years now, but it's creeping back in. I feel it. I just feel it in the media creeping back in. It's just everyone's talking about right now.
Because you got to get vaccinated. If everyone gets vaccinated, we're fine. But still, it's another conversation. You're right.
I don't think that's true. Apparently, they're saying if you get vaccinated, Ralph just got COVID again. He's vaccinated. This is
99.5% of people With the infections or the unvaccinated. There is a 0.5%, but that's with all vaccinations.
I know two people that were vaccinated that got COVID. Oh, now, they're not being hospitalized. They're not getting super sick. But
according to the data, it's 99.5% of people that are in the hospitals and stuff that is without vaccination.
Oh, yeah, that's true, probably.
That's a big skew. It's a big 99.5%. That's a large percentage.
Like 99.5% of people under the age of 50 will survive if they get COVID.
We've been through
so that's a big skew.
You want to come to England, you better get that jab, buddy. Otherwise, tell me, I'll start looking for a replacement because you won't be able to come in without it. But there you go. We don't want to get into that bullshit. Yeah, please. Lie to me.
Forget the COVID conversation. Can I tell you what I'm a little bit nervous about?
Go on.
I was on the website the other day looking at, you know, just the information about the show. And it's all ages. If you're with somebody over 18 or if you're with your parent or whatever. And I'm just a little bit nervous about my type of comedy with kids being in the crowd. I don't think there's going to be that many. But if there's like a 10-year-old kid in the front row, I mean, you know what I do, Bisping. And even when I pull it back, you know what I do.
Yeah, but you can just tweak it a little bit. You can drop some of the swear words if you wanted, but, you know, not that I tell you how to perform your comedy, but I don't think there's going to be, you know, listen, it's not a Disney show, is it? We're not fucking, you know, it's not the latest Toy Story movie, is it? Do you know what I mean? There may be some young MMA fans in the audience, you know, if they are, then they've got to deal with it. This is the big world that we're living in. If they hear some rude jokes, hear a little bit of blue humor, a couple of swear words here and there, guess what? They're going to live. And if they're coming to my show, then it's to be expected because
Suck it up, you little pussies.
Well, there you go. So what are you worried about, baby boy? Let it go.
What am I talking about? It is you. There's no way you're going to be able to get on stage for an hour and not curse your ass off.
I will be swearing. Simple as that, because I'm going to be authentic. It's not going to be fuck, shit, cunt, this, that, every 2 seconds. But there will be a little bit. I will be true to myself, but I'm not going to, you know, I do try and minimize the swearing. And if there's children there, I'll be nice. But still, got to keep it authentic to the brand. You know what I mean?
I'm very, very excited about this, and I'm very, all the fans that have been tweeting at us and letting us know that they're going to come out. The link is in the description for tickets. There's still tickets left for a bunch of cities, right?
Yeah, Dublin sold out completely, but Birmingham, London, Manchester, Glasgow still available. So go to myticket.co.uk, check it out. Please, going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you, Lewis, that we had a little chat on the podcast about the bird's nest on my balcony. Mm. Well, I know this is boring to some people, but it was funny for me yesterday. Rebecca's been monitoring the situation very, very closely. And, of course, some eggs were laid. And then, a little bit later, she heard clicking because it was the eggs breaking out.
She heard that
because she's been monitoring the situation very closely. Kind of weird, very definitely obsessed with it. And then, of course, the birds hatched. Three little birds. Brian, play the video. Three little birds sitting on my doorstep, sitting on my fucking balcony, shitting away. Look at those. The hungry little bastards.
Bisping, if you were funny, you would step on them in the video right now. That'd be the end of it.
Oh, God. No, it wouldn't be funny. But anyway, but there they are. But of course, birds grow into little birds. They're just little chicklings, little babies, little chicks. Brian, play the next one. This is this morning what I did, just to give a little bit of context. That was like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, something like that. And then this is this morning, three little birds sitting on the doorstep.
Now they're ugly.
Ugly little shits. And do you know what else they are? They're very stupid. I'm here yesterday. I'm doing my fighter meetings. At the time, I should have done my podcast. That's why we couldn't do the show. Apologies. And Rebecca says, Michael, I know you're very busy, but I need help right now. The birds have escaped. The mum and dad are going crazy. I'm like, what? I dropped everything. I sprinted upstairs. And it was like a scene from, Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds. Do you know what I mean? There was fucking, the mum and dad are flying everywhere. And there's three birds. They've obviously got curious. They've fallen out of the nest and they're flapping all over the place on the fucking floor. And they're trying to fly, but they can't. And I'm like, we're trying to chase them to grab them, to pick them up. We've got a couple of them. We put them back in the nest. They'd fucking climb right back out the nest. We're like, oh my God, these birds, I shouldn't say it, but they're retarded. Okay, retarded I'm sorry. But so then they continued and continued. This went on for a while. We were going around in circles. I get one. It falls off the balcony. Fortunately, it flapped its wings a little bit. So we got them back in, ran outside looking for the other one. Couldn't find it anywhere. I'm like, babe, you just have to let it go. Nature got that one. Anyway, Rebecca spent about an hour looking for it, found it, put that back in.
She found it.
There they are, three little birds sitting on my doorstep.
Three little birds. Happy.
Look at that. A humanitarian, animal lover, saver of birds, Bisping, as I'm known in certain circles.
Bisping, you need to go to Jamaica, man, because this is a sign. This is a sign. There's three little birds sitting at your doorstep. This is it. You were talking about going to Jamaica. You said, I need a sign. Rebecca, she obviously has some sort of connection with these three little birds. Bob Marley is calling you. The motherland is calling you. Bisping's going to come back with his hair braided, smoking weed. He's never going to be
looking like Rashad Evans out of my mind and mushroom through parallel universes. No, I do want to go to Jamaica, but unfortunately, we go to Cancun on Monday. I told you we're going to do the show on Sunday, if that's possible still, because Monday we fly to Cancun. So I do want to go to Jamaica. It does look lovely. When you were saying, I did some research and the villas and everything, it looks beautiful. But yeah, we got a good deal on Cancun.
Are you doing a resort?
We're staying at the JW Marriott. It's beautiful.
It's a hotel. Hotel or all-inclusive resort?
Yes, it is. I don't know if it's all. It's not all-inclusive. I wish it was. JW is very, very expensive. But yeah,
all-inclusive sucks, though. Dude, every time I've gone to an all-inclusive resort, it's been garbage.
Same. I haven't done it out here, but I did it in Spain on some of the Spanish islands. It's crap. It's just the local, like, shitty alcohol products. There's nothing domestic. All the food terrible. I'm on holiday. We're only there for a week. I don't mind paying. Obviously, the ticket's cheaper to start, so you save a bit of money. And then when you get there, the food's going to be shit, so I'd rather pay for a nice
meal.
That's
part of the experience of going on vacation for me, is going to nice restaurants and experiencing that part of the culture. The food, in my opinion, is probably the best part of any culture that you can experience, right? And that's the amazing part, is everywhere you go in the world, even in the States, where you go to the West Coast, East Coast, South, Midwest – everywhere has their own sort of like little niche and pockets of things, the style of pizza, whatever it is. So when I'm out and traveling, I don't want to fucking be in a resort where it's like cafeteria food, where they're cooking for 500 people at the resort. They're trying to make it, you know, just bland enough so everybody doesn't complain. That's the goal. It's like, how do we make it just the perfect amount of bland where everyone just accepts what it is? And I absolutely hate it. So that's why I switched to the villas, which gives you a private chef and all that stuff.
Yeah, but also I like to get out and sample the restaurant scene. You know what I mean? That's another reason I don't want to be on an all-inclusive. You don't want to sit in the same canteen every night. You don't want to sit in the same people next to the people that are in the next door room. Gee, you heard them having sex last night. And it's very embarrassing. I can't look them in the eye. And anytime I look over, they're sticking their food in their mouth and they're disgusting and they stink. You know, I'm sharing a room with Harrington, for crying out loud. No, I want to get out there. I want to see the locals. I want to see the restaurants. As you said, to your point, very good point. I want to try the local cuisine or get out to different places. Places, see the world, get out of there. I don't want to be stuck in one place. You cannot control me, Lewis. I can't be controlled.
Yeah, dude, never again. Never again will I do an all-inclusive resort. It's a step above being on a cruise, and I've been on a few cruises at this point as well, and it's the same thing on a cruise. It's a goddamn nightmare. No offense to you. I'm not saying that, you know, if you like all-inclusive resorts, you know.
I'm not going to an all-inclusive resort, so there's no offense. Are you talking to the masses? You're talking to the believers?
The masses.
You know, you mentioned COVID before, and of course, cases are creeping back up, which is bloody annoying, because I thought we were almost done, and I'm ready for it to piss off. Obviously, the mask mandate is back, but fortunately, I'm vaccinated, so I don't have to quarantine. So that's how we're doing this on a Friday now, because normally I'd be on the road now, driving to Vegas. I was going to go after the show, but then I got a little bit crazy. I'm like, hold on. I'm going to drive in Saturday morning. I'm going to stay here all day. So have a night with my family, go out for a nice dinner, get out of bed, 8:30, drive there, commentate, drive back. What could go wrong?
Listen to me. I'll tell you right now. It sounds like a perfect plan. Sounds like,
I could break down in the desert.
The sun is shining.
The weather is beautiful.
The weather for three little birds arrived at your doorstep.
Exactly.
Sounds like a perfect plan. Every time you mention food, by the way, all I can think about is the bone marrow tacos. What's the place?
Tempo.
Shout out to Tempo in Anaheim Hills. So fucking good. Oh my God.
But you know, no. Listen to this. I went last week and I was pissed off.
What'd they do?
Oh my God. So
they disrespected Michael Bisping. No way.
They didn't disrespect us. They gave us a table, you know, and it's a very, very busy place. But we sit down and I didn't know what to get, right? So I said to the waitress, I said, what's the best thing? She says, I really, really love the surf and turf burrito. Right? I'm like, ooh, that sounds good. Fuck it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a surf and turf burrito. Fuck the diet. Fuck the keto. Let's go. Right? Rebecca got the California burrito. It came big, juicy burrito, chicken, all kinds of stuff. Even there's fries inside it. I'm like, ooh, look at that. That looks really good.
That's not very California, though.
It's not very California, but still, whatever. Titles, baby, titles. They gave it a title. Mine comes, and I was so mad. Why do you think I was mad? What do you think was wrong with that burrito that I was so mad?
Half the size of Rebecca's.
Not half the size, but I'm a caveman, right? And I like to pick my, eat into it. And,
yeah.
You know, like you know, like a sandwich, whatever.
They had a deconstruction.
They served it up like a fucking sushi roll. They'd put it into little slices. And anytime you picked up a slice, it would all just fall out to pieces. It was mainly cabbage. There was hardly any steak. Oh, I was not happy. I'll tell you that. And I told the waitress. I did. I had to let her know.
Oh, I'd be furious.
That's not what you want in a burrito. You want to pick it up.
That's not a burrito. That's they should call it something different.
They should. Deconstructed.
Yeah. All right, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. Snacks such as beef jerky are a really important part of a low-carb, high-protein diet. It's great. On the go, very, very fast. We've all been known to eat some beef jerky, a bag of beef jerky, some beef sticks, whatever it is that you choose. It's usually great. But a lot of the times when you buy from the gas station or 7-Eleven or wherever you're buying them from, you don't realize how much crap is actually going into your beef. And I'll tell you right now, Paleo Valley makes unbelievably tasty grass-fed beef sticks that I got to be honest with you are truly my favorite snack.
Yeah, and listen, they are 100% grass-fed and finished beef from American farmers who practice rotational grazing. And why is grass-fed beef so important? Well, 100% grass beef contains more calcium, magnesium, potassium, zinc, phosphorus. I could go on and on and on. Vitamins, A, D, E, K, all kinds of stuff. Basically, it's natural, it's good for you, and it's not full of chemicals and bullshit. It's as simple as that. And the 100% grass-fed beef sticks are made in the USA. Listen, you're trying to cut down, you're trying to keep a low-carb diet, you want to be lean and mean, you want to look good on the beach. They're full of zinc and all the vitamins and phosphorus and beta-carotene that I just talked about, and no carbs. On top of that, it tastes delicious. Absolutely delicious. Your kids are going to love them. You're all going to love them, whether you're on the go. Just take one out the drawer, put it in your car, put it in your pocket, put it wherever you want. I suggest putting it in your mouth because they taste very, very good. You're going to try them out. You're going to love them. You're going to thank us for it. Lewis, what is the code that the people need to use and what is the website?
Go to paleovalley.com, paleovalley.com, and use the promo code BELIEVE15 when you check out. You're going to save 15% off your entire order. Go buy a bunch. Stock up right now. PaleoValley.com, promo code BELIEVE15, save 15% now. Okay, where were we?
Anyway, I was talking about COVID there for a second, then I was going somewhere with it. The reason being is next week's pay-per-view with Derek Lewis and Cyril Garn, interim heavyweight title. Also had another title fight on that card. I don't know if you're aware of this. Amanda Nunes taking on, oh my God, mine's gone blank. Juliana Pena.
On
Juliana Pena. Ish, ticking on.
DJ Mikey B,
ticking on Juliana Pena.
Can I say something real quick?
Oh, please, as long as it's not too controversial.
I got a new girlfriend, and she's fucking retarded. She's trying to have a conversation with me right now.
Brian, edit this out. You got a new girlfriend and she's retarded?
Yeah, dude.
You shouldn't say retarded. She's mentally challenged, you say?
She should be in the Special Olympics. She's just talking to me right now. I'm like, do you not know that I'm doing a fucking podcast?
Oh, my God. That is
annoying. Babe, I'm doing a podcast.
That is annoying.
You know?
Tell her to shut the fuck up on behalf of Michael Bisping.
Okay, Michael Bisping's not happy.
Okay, what's your name?
Natalie.
Oh, I know who that is. Was she at the thing on Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she should know. She's kind of in your business. You think she would know?
You think she would know. I know.
She would have. She had no respect for the Believe You Me podcast. Oh, my God.
She just used to be in a hot chick. There's a problem with hot chicks, dude. They're just used to, like, walking around like a on a cloud being like, hello.
Tell her to get her shit together, okay? I tell Rebecca every day, listen, babe, you're done. She just said to me before about the birds. She said, it's the father. The father's doing most of the work, Michael. He's flying off all the time. I don't see the mother doing anything. I'm like, yeah, welcome to my fucking world.
But do you see the world that you, even your hot wife lives in? She's like, she's engaged with these fucking birds in your porch. Like, that's like the most important thing going on in her day is riding her horse and going and playing with these baby birds in the backyard. Wow, what a life.
We had this last night. I said, because we woke up this morning, she slept through. She had a great time because before her, she was a slave to Alfie's asshole. And that's just the reality, which sounds weird. That sounds weird. Not a sexual slave. But she was
like, the old Believe You Me, we would name the episode A Slave to Alfie's Asshole. Not these days. Not these days.
No. You got to be careful these days. No. She used to be, as we know, she was up all night. She was cleaning up poop. She was doing this, giving him medication. But now he's dead. Now she's got nothing. She literally has the life of Riley. As you say, horses, ordering, shopping online, maybe doing a makeup, little makeup videos that she does sped up on Instagram. That's about it. That's the stress in her life.
What a life. What a life.
Get me another coffee right now. My God. She's upstairs looking in the mirror, trying out a new makeup. You know. Oh, dear. Good for her. Good for her. No, but anyway, Amanda Nunes is out. Enough slagging my wife off and talking shit about your new girlfriend. I'm going to tell her, by the way. I'm going to send you this episode.
But look at the life Amanda Nunes has. She's a goddamn warrior. You think she's fucking playing with baby birds in the backyard and fucking...
No, she's fighting off COVID as we speak, devastated because she's done a full training camp, a world title fight training camp as well. I mean, come on. It's one thing. See, that's the problem, isn't it, as well, with COVID, which, I mean, there's many problems, and sadly, people have lost their lives, so that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not downplaying any of that misery. But traditionally, with injuries, you know what I mean? It's up to you. I've hid so many. Most fighters hide injuries going into a fight, you know, and then you get checked out by the commission and the doctor looks at you and they give you a physical. And the amount of times I've been hiding a sore leg or a sore elbow or a sore knee, and they make you do a squat down to the floor and you can hardly do it. You're like, and like, what's wrong? Oh, no, nothing. Everything's fine. With COVID, you can't fucking do that. You know what I mean? So imagine training for a 5 rounds, a world title fight. You're very excited. You're going to get another big payday. Last minute, week before, it wouldn't be too bad 4 weeks out, 5 weeks out, 6 weeks out, because you haven't done all the training, but she did all the camp. Do you know what I mean? All that hard work, sacrifice, not for nothing, because it's all money in the bank, so to speak, but still, she's going to have to do another camp.
Juliana Pena is not fighting somebody else, right? They're just rebooking the fight.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think Jose Aldo versus Pedro Munhoz has been moved up as the co-main event for next week, which is a bit of a shame because I was looking forward to any time Amanda Nunes fights. She's incredible to watch. So
she's awesome. Yeah, she's a fucking warrior and she's awesome. And, you know, I look forward to watching, you know, her fight very, very soon, and well wishes to her. It just sucks, dude. It really, you know, it's just the world we live in.
Well, it is the world we live in. And like with the UFC, every week they drop like flies. Like, I'm commentating this weekend's card, Sean Strickland taking on Uriah Hall. We'll get into that in a minute. We'll talk the fight. We'll break it down and we'll bring up some more controversy from Sean Strickland. Seems to follow him around these days. But I like to watch him fight and I like the personality of him. I don't agree with everything what he says, but he is watchable and he is interesting. But I saw this fight card this week. There was 15 fights on it. And that's a lot of people to research. That's 30 fights. Now it's down to 11. And they lost two earlier in the week. And now they just lost another two this morning. Just got an email earlier. They have lost Lawrence versus Jones and Nico Montagna taking on Wu Yanan. I'm not sure the details. Probably COVID, let's be honest. But yeah, it's crazy. Dropping like flies these days.
Harrington says Nico had a weight issue.
Oh, she did. Is that what it is?
7 pounds over.
7 pounds over. Oh my God. Listen, it pisses me off. It pisses me off. And I know, and this is going to, I've got to be careful with my words here. And I am going to be, but I stand by it. Laura Sanko is a female. I don't know if you know that. Laura Sanko also used to fight amateur. I think she had one pro fight. Maybe I'm wrong. But she says, because anytime a woman misses weight. You know what the excuse is, don't you? Well, it was that time of the month. I had a lot of bloating, PMT, all this type of stuff. And obviously, I can't dispute that because I don't know if you're aware of this, Lewis. I've never had a period. Have you ever had a period?
It's weird because you act like you're on it at least twice a month.
Yeah, exactly. I have a very, very fast metabolism. Not one period, two. No, I've never had a period. But Laura Sanko, because obviously they say that and we can't deny that. But Laura Sanko says that that is absolute bullshit. And I like that. And I respect the honesty because it's got to be bullshit. It's got to be. Listen, the reality is, if it is that, oh, it's coming in at 7 pounds. That's a lot. That's not even close. I'm sorry, a little bit of bloating, 7 pounds?
I don't know that. Stone? Is it so much the bloating? Like she's, I don't know if she's like got 7 pounds worth of bloating, but it's maybe the PMS makes it difficult to cut the weight. Maybe that's more the issue. I don't know. I don't know. Like I'm not a doctor, obviously, neither are you. But I have heard that a lot. And I think that women as well, and this is definitely true, women without a doubt have a harder time losing weight. I mean, every guy that I know, including myself, I can lose weight, gain weight very, very fast. And, you know, girls that I've dated, they're always like, fuck you. Like, you lose weight so quickly. They have a real hard time doing it. It's not the same thing. I think men...
Completely disagree.
You disagree. I've heard this. Yeah. I've heard this in MMA before, too, where they say it's more difficult for women to cut weight.
A woman would tell you that if you're trying to get on your, whoever it is to lose weight, Lewis. And they're like, it's harder for a woman. Of course it is. I don't know. I don't think there's any physiological makeup that makes it different. Rebecca can drop weight when she needs to. She's on that right now, going Cancun, going to be in a bikini. I'm like, babe, you better get your fucking, go on, get running, girl, get running.
We'll know how successful it is depending on how much Michael puts on his Instagram.
Yeah, no. So it's... Yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, it comes down to this. If you're a professional athlete and you have to make weight, you monitor your weight. You get on the scale every day. When you're in training camp and you have to be a certain weight, that is how all fighters start the day. You get out of bed, you have a good piss, you squeeze out every little last bit of moisture, you hope it's a big piss, and then you step on the scale and then you're probably really annoyed because it's never what you want it to be. You're never as light as what you think. You look in the mirror, you're like, ooh, I look good today. You step on, it's like, oh, 217. I've been 217 for the last 3 days. It's not going down anyway. So when that happens, what do? Well, you make adjustments. You have to do some extra miles. You do, instead of doing a cup of rice, you do half a cup of rice or whatever it is. You make little tweaks, and you know, as the fight's getting closer and closer and closer, you know, you're on track and you have to tweak it. You can't just rock up and come in 7 pounds over and go, oh, I'm a woman. I don't buy that. I don't. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm nervous. I have to lose 30 pounds.
Good luck.
30 pounds. Yeah.
Good luck. You look like you've lost weight already. I said to Rebecca on Monday when I saw you on the stage, I was like, oh shit, Lewis has lost weight. You can't really see here, but you do look like you've lost a few.
Yeah, no, I have. I'm like 220 right now. Something like that. I have 25 pounds. I get down to 195. I haven't weighed 195 pounds since the 8th grade.
Well, if you want to know exactly how to do it, go to my YouTube page. I did a big breakdown on how to cut weight in detail. I won't do it now. I won't do it now because it's like a 25-minute long video. But if you do it step by step, how to do it, follow everything I put in that video, Lewis, you can lose, what are you going to lose? 30 pounds, 20 pounds?
About 25 pounds. I'm still 3.5 months out, so I'm fine. I'll probably only have to cut like 10 pounds.
The real question is how long to put it all back on. Because every time I used to cut weight, I'd say, right, that's it. This time
I'm in shape now. That's it. I'm gonna stay light.
I'm staying like this. That's it. And of course, you know, for the first week, it slowly starts creeping back on after a bit. You're like, fuck it. I'll have another fight again soon. This podcast is brought to you by the Ready State Virtual Mobility Coach. Dr. Starrett is a movement and mobility coach in the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA, plus a doctor of physical therapy. Kelly has created a program which he called the Virtual Mobility Coach. Every day, Virtual Mobility Coach gives you guided mobility videos. It walks you through step-by-step through Kelly's proven techniques to relieve pain, improve range of motion, and improve performance. Listen, I'm retired, as we know. Lewis is in the throes of getting ready for a big fight. But now that I'm retired, one thing I'm focusing on is my mobility. These days, there's a big emphasis on that. When I was younger, not so much. I mean, I should have done stretching and things like that has always been around, but I wish I focused on that a lot more because now I'm paying the price. But I've been using this for a while now. Thank you very much for hooking me up, Dr. Starrett. And it's incredible. And the range of motion in my shoulders is already getting better. I struggle to put on a tie. I can tie a tie. I put it over, but when I can't get my arms back here to put the collar back down at the back. But slowly but surely, Lewis, slowly but surely, I can pop my collar by myself. and put it down afterwards.
Wow. Actually, you know what? I'm going to try to get you to lose your password to that. I don't want you to be popping your collar anymore around me. Look, it really is a great program. And the coolest part about all this is we're going to give you 2 weeks absolutely for free. And if you decide to continue, you're going to save 10% off for life using the promo code BISPING10. So right now, visit thereadystate.com/BISPING and use the promo code BISPING10 at checkout. Once again, that's thereadystate.com/BISPING and use that promo code BISPING10 when you sign up. You're going to get 2 weeks for free and save 10% if you keep your membership for life. So once again, thereadystate.com/BISPING. This promo code expires December 31st, 2021. So make sure you go there and do that.
Yeah, and listen, do that, because mobility is very, very important. As I said, I'm paying the price now. Stretching is very important. You can do it by yourself, but you don't really push yourself. This program is fantastic. It's going to help you make strides, leaps, gains in all areas. So do that. Take advantage of that code, BISPING10 at thereadystate.com. Okay, where were we? Anyway, as I say, Sean Strickland coming up this week and taking on Uriah Hall. It's a pretty big fight, actually, in the middleweight division because, as we know, Uriah Hall, last time we saw him, knocked out Anderson Silva. And Uriah Hall's a guy that's been around forever. You know, he came to fruition on The Ultimate Fighter. He was a lot of hype from him there. Had some beautiful knockouts. That spinning wheel kick, he was absolutely beautiful. And he had a lot of hype, but he struggled a little bit. But he's had some good, what's that? Last time we saw him, broke Chris Weidman's leg. Nope, yeah, that's right, Harrington. Thanks for distracting me. But that is the last time we saw him. Thanks. Nothing to do with what I'm saying right now. Completely lost my train of thought. That is the last time we saw him, Harrington. Thank you very much. But I'm talking about his history. But he's very good, but he's had some ups and some downs. He's been very, very inconsistent. But when he's on, he's fantastic. I mean, look at the knockout of Gegard Mousasi. Granted, Mousasi came back in the next fight that they had and beat him down pretty well. But still, the beautiful technique that he used, the jumping, spinning back kick to rock him and then followed it up, it's very nice. And that's what he's capable of. And that's what makes Uriah so exciting. He's a hell of an athlete and he's, you know, a hell of a martial artist as well. And against Sean Strickland, go on.
Well, the last time we saw him, he broke Weidman's leg.
Whoa, really? That's insane. You know what? Actually, speaking of Weidman's leg, Harry, it's very distracting. You commenting bullshit in there. Unless it's something really good, don't do it. Right? 4-5 win streak for both men. Thanks. Guess what? I'm commentating the event. I've spent all week. Always like earlier in the notes, I'm like, Harrington, we need the notes. We're going on air in 20 minutes. Or I'm just finishing bullet points on Strickland versus Uriah. I'm like, yeah, I'm commentating the fight. I know everything about them. I know their middle names. I know their kids' names. They don't have kids. But if they did have kids, I'd know their names. Okay? Stop it. Send the fucking notes. Shut the fuck up. Talking of Weidman, though, you know what's happened with Weidman?
He broke his leg the last time he faced Uriah Hall.
he did. It's related to that, funnily enough.
Okay, good, please.
He did. Yeah, it is related. He broke his leg, obviously, against Uriah Hall.
Did he?
Then he had it fixed. He had it repaired. Yeah, last time he fought Uriah Hall, he broke his leg. He had it repaired. We saw footage of him in the gym, didn't we? And we had him on the podcast. But he needs it operating on again. Poor guy. Because what they got to do is they got to fuse the bones together, try and join the break. I'm no doctor, but apparently it hasn't done right. So they got to go back in. They're going to have to re-break it or something, stick a titanium shin bone in there and then redo it all again. What a nightmare for Chris Weidman.
Yeah, poor Chris Weidman. And he's a really, really good guy. And last time we had him on, he had a very positive attitude, you know, seemed to learn a lot from the experience. And I think he was very motivated to come back, watching Anderson Silva come back in only 13 months. I think he was like, fuck it, dude, I can do that. And I think you just sort of, when he talked about it, you saw that he was very motivated. He was like, I'm already walking and I was up. So obviously this is another bump in the road for his return and recovery. Wish him the best, but that sucks.
Yeah, well, no, because he was saying hopefully 12 months. 12 months to recover, repair from the surgery, and then come back, which would have been great. Now I'm assuming it's going to set that him back by, what's it been, 2-3 months since that happened. So, yeah, it's going to set him back right back to square one. But Weidman, we wish you all the best, buddy. Hopefully see you back in there one day. No, Sean Strickland, he was a guy, came to the UFC. He had a couple of 185 middleweight fights, went down to welterweight. And it's funny because I remember I used to train with him at Rain Training Center. Yeah, I used to train with him at Rain Training Center, though. And he was like, fuck that, I'm going down to 170. Look at the size of you monsters at 185. No way I'm fighting you guys. And I was like, you're never going to make 170. But he did. And he did it for a while. But he struggled down there. Didn't do very well. Again, dropping all that weight, losing all that muscle and things like that. It's not conducive to the best kind of athletic performance. And he actually got knocked out, granted, by Santiago Ponzinibbio, beautiful spinning wheel kick. That would have knocked out a lot of people because it landed flush. But the more you cut weight, the more it affects your ability to take a shot. Anyway, he was in a motorcycle accident, really, really badly injured his leg. He's came back at middleweight. He's doing fucking great. He's 4-0. They've been really good fights. He's beat some good competition. Did you see the fight against Jack Marshman when he was talking all the way through the fight?
Yeah, I did, but remind me.
Well, no, in like the final round, I'm trying to find it here because the UFC put it on Twitter the other day. Would have been great to show. But as he's punching, he's like, Jack, just go down. Why won't you go down, Jack? Come on. Come on, Jack. And he's hitting him. He's like, why won't you go down? And he's like, 10 seconds, Jack. 5 seconds. I mean, if I was Jack Marshman, that is absolutely, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, it's so demoralizing. Yeah. You got a guy beating the shit out of you, mocking you at the same time, but also giving you props for not going down. It's like a weird one. You know what I mean? Oh, here it is. Look at this.
30 seconds. Fuck it, Jack. Let's go. I'm kicked, Jack. I knew you seen it coming.
Oh, man. Goes up with a kick. Go on.
Fall down, Jack. Come on, Jack.
Fall down, Jack. Come on, Jack.
10 seconds, Jack.
You gotta say it's very entertaining. It, like, yeah. If I'm Jack Marshman, it's killing me. It's like absolutely demoralizing me. But as a viewer, it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, also like just to be for Sean Strickland, he's so confident at that moment in the fight. He's like, dude, there's nothing he's gonna do. There's nothing. That's fucked up, dude. That's like a thing where if you're Jack Marshman, you're like, fuck, dude. There's nothing I can do. I was watching a Kimbo Slice thing the other day, like on YouTube. They were talking about it. Or maybe it was the UFC puts out those little like shorts, and they were talking about Kimbo and how crazy he was. And there was the one fight where Kimbo just was like, boom. And then he just like put his hands down and he let the other dude just start wailing off on him. And he just looked at him and just took him. And it's like, what do you do at that point where you're just punching this guy in the face and he's literally just taking it, going like, there's nothing you can do.
At that point, you just said, we're done. Okay, you got it. You got it. I've hit you with my best shots. And they seemingly didn't affect you at all. So therefore, I'm not a mathematician, but that would equate to me that there's nothing I can do. It's over. It's done. There you go. You're the winner, baby. Take it. Strickland was in the... As you know, we talked about him recently. He had that thing with Orlando Sanchez in the gym when he kind of tweaked his arm. But he was talking this week... or earlier this week, I think it was, about a time somebody pulled a gun on him. Some of the MMA websites were talking about it. Brian, do we have the video of that, please?
All right, for those who are wondering how I almost killed a man, right? I'm at this gathering, and I'm probably running my mouth being an idiot. Next thing I know, a guy fucking puts a shotgun to my head. So my dumbass punches him in the face. He falls down. I take the gun. At that moment, I'm like contemplating, if I shoot this motherfucker in the head, is there any legal defense to it? Sadly, I looked around, there were fucking witnesses. I thought, if I kill this man, I'm going to go to prison. So I unload the gun, I give it back to him, I walk away. Moral of the story is, man, you almost fucking died. And every day I regret the fact that there are witnesses and I could have fucking shoot you.
Jesus.
But I also forgive you.
Strickland has a screw loose, dude.
No, he does. He does have a screw loose. He is. He does. Trust me. He talks nothing but shit to me all the time. And I told you when we were down at Ruka, when you were there, we were there and he came in. He's like, you know, my friends tell me that when you commentate my fights, they say you don't like me. I said, well, you talk a lot of shit, John, Sean. He's like, I do talk a lot of shit. You do, Sean, you know, but it is entertaining to watch as a fight fan. At least there's entertainment value there. And there's something. At least he's not boring.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, you're not supposed to, you don't have to like everyone in the world, right? Not everyone has to be buddy-buddy. Not everyone's got to be friends. You could just fucking coexist in the world and go like, all right, dude, I'm a cocky motherfucker. You're a cocky motherfucker. Because that's the reality. Is Strickland, because I didn't interact with him much, but I did interact with him a few times at Ruka. He's a cocky motherfucker. You are a cocky motherfucker. Luke Rockhold
is a cocky motherfucker. There's a lot of cocky motherfuckers that are bouncing around at Ruka that are just avoiding, and you guys coexist. It's actually beautiful to watch because all of you make a decision to coexist there when you go there because it could easily go another way.
Well, no, I make a decision that they can coexist there, okay? Because I started fucking training down there and I invited them all fucking down, okay? But you're right, that's what it is. It's called alpha males. Alpha males, you get too many alphas together, there's going to be some clashes. But still, Lewis, someone puts a shotgun to your head. You foolishly punch them. I don't know if that gun was loaded. I don't know, because I would say if it was serious, the swing of a fist is slower than the pull of a trigger. Just my thought. But still, he punched him. Let's take it for what it is. He punched him. He takes the gun off him right then and there. If you can get away with it, no witnesses, are you blowing his head to smithereens?
Well, first of all, you felt my punch. Do you think that my punch is going to put him down? Or do you think he's going to just do the Kimbo slice and laugh at me?
Don't punch him. It's not a bad punch, not the softest punch, but it wasn't the quickest. Again, if Sean Strickland isn't able to hit him without getting blown, you're going to reload. This motherfucker's trying to punch me. Look at it. Whoa. Let's see that in slow motion. That's what it would be like. You know what I mean?
It would be good. Okay. Sorry.
You got to get a little more pop, a little more snap, snap, snap.
I'm going to apologize. I'm just apologizing to this guy.
No, you take the gun off him, though. Let's say you punch him. You take the gun. Hasta la vista, baby. What do? Do you blow his head off or do you say, listen, you were stupid, you were foolish. Somebody call the cops, please.
Yeah, no, I'm not killing a person. I don't kill a bug. Like, if there's a bug, I won't step on it. I feel bad, except ants. I have fucking ants in my basement. I'll kill them all day long.
Don't like damaging God's creatures. Save birds.
Could you kill a man?
I could. I don't want to. I certainly don't dream about it. And I don't, it's not something that I'm perversely thinking about at night. Ooh, I can't wait for a situation where someone tries to kill me and I can legally kill them. No, that doesn't turn me on. But there's one or two motherfuckers on this planet that I can get away with. I would blow their heads off and not feel a fucking ounce of regret or shame about it. Would not feel sad in the slightest.
Number one, Harrington.
No, Harrington's slightly annoying. That's it. Do you know what I mean?
Could you kill a man?
He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. But if I had to kill a man, and you could as well, but if let's say someone came in your house at night to attack you.
Attacking my family, I don't know. I think if I got the gun from them and I didn't feel as if I was in, there was a threat anymore and danger anymore. Yeah, I don't think I would just kill him in cold blood. Now, with my family, it's a different thing. You know, you may, you know, but I don't know. Harrington, jump on. Could you kill a man? Harrington would have a story where he did kill a man in Reno in like fucking 95.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Changes identity. Look at him in darkness right now. His lights are off.
Yeah, that's the look of his soul. That's his spirit. That's the inside of Harrington. Harrington, we can't see you, bud.
You can't see me at all?
We can't see you. We just see the black soul of your face. But still, whatever. It's fitting to the conversation. Talk to us.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think about the Anthony Smith situation where, you know, a guy happens to break into your house. He's on meth and it turns out he's like a state championship wrestler. Like, I don't know what state this guy could be in. If he's in my home and he shouldn't be there and I have that gun. Yeah. Why not?
I actually had a person come to my house to try and kill me. If you recall, it's in the book. I haven't spoke about it. Remember the guy came and tried to set me on fire and burn my house down and stuff.
The amount of times that people have tried to kill you, Michael, I'm starting to think that it might be you. Like, you have the story in Africa.
That's two times. That's two times. And that was totally random. A car pulls up at night, fucking guy sticks a gun to my head. I shit my pants. Fair play to Sean Strickland being all macho. So I punched him in the face. I disarmed him. I had a very
you ran response. Like a bitch.
I fucking legged it. I stood there shitting my pants. I called Rebecca to say I love you because I thought I was gonna die.
And honestly, why would you put that on Rebecca, like, to listen to you be shot to death, you asshole?
So that's why I hung up, because I thought I need to call Rebecca and say I love you one last time and tell the kids I love him. And then I thought, that's pretty fucked up. So I hang up and I'm dealing with a guy with his gun in my face, and then she keeps calling back. I'm like, for fuck's sake, stop calling back, kind of busy right now. But then I'll finish the story for those that haven't heard it before. There was a bunch of homeless people and they were trying to like get money off me, and they started getting aggressive, and then a car pulls up, guys jump out, puts a gun to my head and tells me to get in the car. And then, because they're not the brightest people, the homeless people are like, he doesn't know where he's going. and they start talking to each other in Afrikaans, which is their local language, which is like Dutch, and they're all obviously high on drugs or crack or whatever it is. And then they forget about me and start arguing amongst themselves. And the guy lowers his gun and they're talking in this language. And in the end, I just went, fuck this. Pushed him as hard as I could. And then, yeah, call it like a little bitch. Call it like what you want. But I ran as fast as my legs could carry me.
The fact that you could outrun a bunch of Africans is a testament to how fast Michael Bisping used to be.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty funny. But they didn't even chase me. They didn't even chase me. I pushed him. Oh, bro, it was a hard push. I think he went tumbling down the street. And by then, they're not going to chase me. You know what I mean? They thought at that moment they had a little opportunity. The prey has gone. They have lost their bounty.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that was it. The what happened, because this is at the end of your book, they tried to get you to actually get into the car, right?
Yeah, they wanted me to get in the car. Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that. Yeah.
Well, that was it. I wasn't being macho. If they asked for my wallet or my phone, I would have given it. But they wanted me to get in the car. And I'm like, I'm not getting in the car. And they're like, why? I'm like, if I get in the car, I'm dead. So if you don't get in the car, you're dead. Well, I'll take my chances outside. And I'm not getting in the car. Anyway, let's get into some of these MMA news. What do we want to talk about? Should we have Harrington just throw some topics at us? And
have we not talked MMA at all? Yeah, we have. Oh, shit.
We talked a little bit of Strickland, a little bit of Amanda Nunes with some nonsense thrown in here and there, but people like that sometimes. Colby Covington announces that he's going to have Lil Wayne walk him out for his rematch against Usman at UFC 268. That seems a strange choice. I didn't have Colby Covington down as like a hip hop type of guy. Don't know about you.
Oh, I'm sure he is. He's like a fucking jockey dickhead. You know, I know the Trump thing is like partially a troll, but you know.
Here's the quote. I'm definitely going to have Lil Wayne walk me out. My little boy Weezy, he's my favorite rapper. Yeah, like Weezy. My favorite artist and rapper growing up. He's the best rapper alive. He should be the president. He's such a great person. He has smart philosophies and ideas, but he's going to be walking me out, and we're going to be walking out to sky is the limit, the limit. Because you know what? The sky is the limit.
Apparently, Lil Wayne is also a Trump guy.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But apparently, all right. Well, thanks for putting that in the notes. But still,
a lot of those rappers toward the end of the election were coming out as Trump guys because they started talking about tax policies. And Biden was like, yeah, we're going to take half your money. And 50 Cent was like, are you out of your fucking mind? Trump all day. He came out.
The amount of people that I know that made the same decision for the same reason. Right. Harrington, give us some hammer fisting then and try not to mess it up. If he's there, is he alive? Is Harrington alive?
I hope not.
To mess it up. This is the first one already. Strike one. But let's keep a little. And now the screen is dark again. Strike two. Okay.
It looks fine on my. I'm sorry. I don't know how to fix that. It looks great.
Don't worry, buddy.
Sorry, I was swallowing peanut butter like a dog. I was gonna ask with the hammer fisting with that though. Luis J. Gomez and Michael Bisping. If you could have one artist accompany you to the octagon, who would you choose?
Good question. Harrison?
Luis, go ahead. Let me think.
Solid question. One person to walk me out, you know, and rap me out. They gotta be a rapper, or it could be any artist.
No, any artist.
You could
any
do artist. Like
okay, all right.
That, you know, the Aaron Lewis from Stain do his walk.
Yeah, no, we get it. Any artist is that's all he needs to hear, Harrington.
Bill Cosby. I always have Bill Cosby walk me out on a walker, and look, I respect the greats.
Solid choice. Good old-fashioned raper. I don't know. Liam Gallagher. I don't know. It's a tough question. It's a lot of great artists.
No, you got to have Blur. You got to have Blur play you out the song too, yeah, dude. On a fucking float, dude.
I love the song, but don't so much love the band. They did some great music, but just their whole presence is a little bit Harrington for my liking, where I prefer the attitude of Liam Gallagher from Oasis. But still, Harrington, MMA news for the people. Stop asking us silly questions. Throw some of the topics, or we can just not hammer fist it. I'll just do it myself. Trying to bring down the show, trying to give you a little bit of spotlight, trying to let you come on the show and have a presence.
And it's an honor and a privilege, Mike. Let me tell you this.
His camera isn't on. We need to fucking point this out. It's crazy.
It's not on. Can you just give us the voice? Do you have to come on camera?
I don't know how this software works with that.
Okay.
Okay. So two guys are jockeying for position here. Jorge Masvidal says that he's ready for a fight in either November or December of this year. Leon Edwards says he's ready and he stopped making excuses. Gilbert Burns, however, heard the announcement of Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington at MSG. And he's saying, Leon Edwards, let's fight in the co-main event. Guys, who do you want to see Leon Edwards fight next?
Yeah, I was going to say, get off the screen. By the way, you never look so good, Harrington, if I'm honest. It's going to be Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal. That fight has to happen. It has to happen. And I'm kind of, I don't want to say confused or anything or annoyed by it, but I'm like, it's such a logical fight to make. Leon Edwards, Masvidal, both at the top of the food chain when it comes to the welterweight division, although they're not champions, but they're still right up there, very highly ranked. Masvidal, obviously a big star. Edwards on an 8-fight win streak with one no contest. Just beat Nate Diaz, questing for a title shot big time. He needs a big name like Masvidal. As we know, Masvidal assaulted him backstage in 2019. Over 2 years ago, March, I believe, 2019, and we still haven't seen the fight 2.5 years later. Typically, if two names like that get into a fucking fight, if they get into a fight backstage, like, all right, well, let's take that energy, pick it up, put it inside the octagon and sell it. And the fact that they haven't done that is kind of mind-blowing to me. Because look at Conor versus Khabib. Because when they had the footage of the dolly, all that stuff, that all helps for promotion. They've got the video. They've got the video. That is great promotion for a fight, and it's a logical matchup.
Yeah, and they are two of, you know, both of these guys. Leon's ranked, what, number three at this point, number two at this point, and Masvidal's ranked definitely top five still. You know, for Masvidal, this is probably the best case scenario for him. I mean, who else is there for him? Who else is really left for him to fight? Colby Covington, obviously, is a fight that's out there, but he would need a win even to fight Colby. If Colby loses, technically Masvidal could wait that out and get that fight. It's a massive, massive fight. That's the biggest fight regardless for Masvidal. But let's say Colby wins, Masvidal needs a win, and Masvidal beating Leon Edwards would justify him getting another title shot. And the fight between Leon and Masvidal just has to happen. Two guys, they have history. The fact that this fight hasn't been made yet is sort of crazy.
And there's no way in the world that the next fight for Masvidal is going to be a title fight. He just got knocked out cold. And two fights in a row he had for title fights. So he has to let go of the title fight aspirations right now. It's as simple as that. He managed to get two in a row. There's no way you're getting three in a row. You got to go on a little run now. You got to convince the public. You got to show the public, the buying public, the audience, and the UFC that you can convince everybody that it's going to be different a third time round. Because right now you got done by decision, then you got knocked out. That's just the facts. You have to convince everybody, show the world that, hey, listen, I deserve another shot. Look at what I've done. I just beat Leon Edwards. Then he needs a second, maybe even a third, if I'm honest. But if he can do that, then he will earn a third title fight. But until that happens, yeah, there ain't no more title fights, unfortunately. As much as I love to watch him fight, because he's very exciting.
Yeah. And don't forget, Nick Diaz is coming back. Diaz comes in and beats Robbie Lawler. Nick Diaz is right there in conversations. Do you think the next fight for Nick Diaz, they just give him a title fight if he beats Robbie Lawler? I would not be surprised if they just put him into a title fight at 170. Or do you think he fights somebody else?
I think he fights somebody else. I think so. I mean, that's his first fight back in, what, 6 years, 6.5 years. So it's a long time out. But he's got name value. He's got brand recognition. And everyone knows, and the UFC knows, that he moves the needle. So, you know, it's smart to do that. But I think one win over Robbie Lawler isn't enough. And it isn't. It isn't. With all the contenders that are there, you got guys like Leon Edwards we just spoke about that haven't had a title fight. Diaz coming back. Listen, name brand value does matter. It is a thing. It is a factor in the equation for sure. And star power matters. And moving the needle and selling pay-per-view buys. Of course, you want the UFC want to put out successful products. You know what I mean? Maybe not always the most logical choice, but if it's a successful product, that means people are buying. What else does that mean? Of course, it makes the company money, but it means you're keeping the buying public happy. Stuff that sells more means it's because it's more desirable. You know what I'm saying? And if that's what they're doing, and that's they do have a habit of putting on the fights that fans want to see. It's not always the logical matchup, but if it does fucking millions of pay-per-view buys, or a million, or 800,000, or whatever, that's a sign that it was the right choice.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Nick Diaz, I think it also matters if he beats Robbie Lawler, right? Not, it's not a foregone conclusion at all. right? So if he beats Robbie Lawler, and how he beats Robbie Lawler would be a very big determining factor there as well. But if he comes out and really puts it on Robbie Lawler and like returns to form, you're like, holy shit, dude, Nick Diaz is back. I almost feel like the UFC, they have a history of not wanting to waste the opportunities, you know, and Nick Diaz, you put him up against Leon Edwards or Gilbert Burns or any of these guys that don't have the title, he could very well lose, and then you sort of lose the opportunity for this massive, massive pay-per-view, because Nick Diaz on the other side of a title fight, I think that equals massive pay-per-view buys. I think he's one of the people that today, we talked about on the last show, one of the people today that could do over a million pay-per-view buys.
No way, no way. But still, Harrington, let's move on. We did spend a lot of time talking about that on Monday, but beating Robbie Lawler, getting the title shot, is fucking ludicrous, and I'll make a bet with you right now, $10,000, that won't happen. Harrington, the man from the darkness, the voice from above, the voice from underneath, from hell, calls me fucking hell. Give me a next one.
Poor Gilbert Burns, left out in the cold. Okay, let's see here. There was a tweet Conor McGregor sent out, and then he almost instantly deleted. It did get picked up by a couple of news outlets, though. A lot of people are calling it over the line. If you remember when Dustin Poirier beat Conor McGregor, Khabib tweeted out, "Good always defeats evil." Conor McGregor then tweeted out, "COVID is good and father is evil?" Question mark. A lot of people are saying that is a step too far. Do you guys agree?
I do. Listen, I mean, number one, what's it been? It's been a few weeks now. I don't even need to explain it. Of course it's bad. You're mocking the death of someone's father, you know, and a guy that obviously they had a very close relationship. And Abdulmanap was a very big part of all the success of these Dagestani fighters, of course, trained Khabib from an early age, and a bunch of other fighters that are doing very well as well. So, but still, it is. It's below the line. DC talked about it this week. He said that he called Khabib straight away. And I say it all the time. You can talk about whatever you want. You can talk about the fighter, whatever you want to say, but family needs to be off limits. And certainly when they've passed away, you know, but that's not a hot take. I think that's what the entire world is condemning him for that one.
It's almost two parts. Yes, I think it's below the line. I mean, look, you're not going to offend me. Both of my parents are dead. I make jokes about it. No, if somebody said that to me, it wouldn't affect me in any way. So my perspective on it is this: yes, it's too far. And Connor, he's trying to go too far. He hates him, obviously.
Because he deleted it straight away. It was like, oh.
Well, he's probably getting fucking flamed and people are calling him a piece of shit. Yeah. But I also feel like Khabib likely has a thick skin. You're world famous, millions of followers. People say fucked up shit. The internet trolls are out there. You know, I'm sure he's heard it all before. You know, I'm sure it didn't truly affect him. I'm sure he's not losing sleep over Conor McGregor saying something like that. It's just not, it's sort of a non-issue. You know, it's, you know, yeah, Conor's not a nice guy. Does Conor pretend to be a nice guy? Is he pretending to be not
sometimes,
be,
any, sometimes.
Be anything but the villain?
Because he put a tweet out saying when he passed away. You know, sending his condolences. And then he put that one out just recently, mocking his death. It is what it is. They don't like each other. He fucking hates Khabib. He hates the way that Khabib retired as the champion. Hates the love that everyone has for Khabib these days. Yeah. Harrington, what else?
All right. Colby Covington had a couple other things to say this week. One of them is that Dustin Poirier is cutting a ton of weight because he knows he's a one-dimensional fighter. Colby Covington says that after he wins the belt, and if Dustin Poirier is the champion, he welcomes a champ-champ fight at welterweight. Do you think we ever see this grudge match settled in the octagon?
Interesting. I don't know. I'd like to. That'd be fun. You know, I mean, there's a lot got to happen before we even talk about that, though. You know, we're a million light years.
Neither of them are champions.
I was just about to say, well done, well spotted for spotting the elephant in the room. They're not champs.
Champ? Who the fuck is talking about champ? Neither of them are champions.
Contender versus contender. Yeah, we got... Covington got knocked out last time against Usman. All right, not knocked out unconscious, but he got his jaw broke and had the referee drag him off. He's going to fight him again, and Usman has got leaps and bounds better since the first fight. That's just the reality. The reality is he stopped Masvidal, knocked Masvidal out cold. Ever since he teamed up with Trevor Whitman, he looked so much better. So great for Covington. You know what I mean? I wish him the best. He's making headlines. We're talking about him. He's doing his thing. And he's going to have another shot, and maybe he does better. But I would put my money on being on Kamaru. Same for Dustin. Dustin, I would say, has a way bigger percentage chance of being champion than what Covington has. He's probably going to beat Charles Oliveira, but it's not a given. It's still a tough fight for him. And maybe if they both win and become champs, maybe we can talk about that. But Lewis, champ-champ conversation, lightweight versus welterweight, of two people that aren't the champions. Who thinks this? Who wins? Who wins?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I just feel like we gotta wait and see. Look, if they did fight, you know, I think... You'd have to. I mean, look, Covington's really good, dude. I don't know. Wait, let me ask you, was Covington's last fight against Kamaru?
Yes. No, Tyron Woodley.
Okay, Tyron. Yeah, I mean, look, that's a tough fight. Either way, it's a tough fight. I don't think that Covington's getting past Kamaru Usman. I think Kamaru's going to actually put him away faster this time.
Yep. All right, Harrington, let's go. Give us a good one. Don't give us hypotheticals.
Something juicy.
Okay, here's a fun one. Walt Harris has a fight booked against Tai Tuivasa on Fight Island. Gentlemen, do you think Tai Tuivasa can fight his way back into the heavyweight rankings after being cut from the promotion a little over a year ago?
Well, a better question would be thoughts on the matchup. You know what I mean? You don't need to insert your dialogue into that or your little narrative on the sly. First of all, what a great fight. That is a hell of a booking, hell of a matchup. Walt Harris, love that guy. Obviously, he went through a very tough time last year with the disappearing of his daughter and sadly, the murder. I was trying to find a more polite way of putting it, but that's about it. But still, he showed tremendous strength of character, came back and almost knocked out over him in the first round, got too excited. Then who did he fight recently? Hold on, was it Volkov? No. Who did he fight, Harrington? I called it as well. Who did he fight? Whatever. He looked good. He looked very, very good. He's got heavy hands.
The last one was Marcin Tybura.
Marcin Tybura. That's right. Yeah. He looked good, though. Again, he started off really well, but then faded or whatever. But against Tai Tuivasa, they both fight the same way. He's not going to have to worry about takedowns. And they're both two sluggers. Walt Harris is a big man, as is Tai Tuivasa. Tai Tuivasa is fucking awesome. He's great. He's a lot of fun. He's a star in the making. He's got tremendous personality. So much fun. And that's a banger of a fight.
I'm never betting against Tai Tuivasa again. Last time I had to do a shoey because I fucking lost. Drink a beer out of a goddamn boot. But I fucked up. So we looked it up. Harrington looked it up. Apparently everyone in the room is supposed to spit in the boot.
Yeah. Yeah, more. Which is even more gross.
That's awful.
Yeah, but this is not what you want to be doing. You don't want to be embracing these cultures just because of, listen, just because, what do they call them in Australia? Bogans. That's what they call them. That's the Australian term for someone that might do such a thing, I believe, according to my wife. I'm not Australian.
These people are savages. What do you want me to say?
It's fucking disgusting. Listen, I'll embrace the culture. Go down to Cancun. You know what I mean? I want to go down, jump in these
tacos. I'm going through drink the jungle. Some tequila.
I'll have a burrito as long as it's not fucking sliced into a fucking sushi roll. Do you know what I mean? I'll go in, all in. If anyone says, hey, hombre, come here, man. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to spit in the shoe and then you're going to drink it. I'll say, you know what? Get fucked. Get out of my hotel.
And that's not racism, because that's literally any culture that would do that. I would say that they're savages. They could be wherever fucking Tai Tuivasa is from. They could be from Africa. They could be from Mexico. They could be from Canada. If they're spitting in a boot and having me drink it, I say you're a savage and you're an uncivilized person.
It's not my cup of tea. I'd say I'm going to politely refrain. I'm going to politely say no.
What if they spit in your cup of tea?
This cup of tea?
Last thing they ever do in their life.
With the flag on?
Have you ever spit in somebody's food? Like, have you ever been working in fast food or even an enemy, like, got access to their food, given us?
Never in a million years.
Never?
I haven't. No, I haven't. Well, number one, I haven't worked at a fast food place or anything like that, but it's gross. No, I've never. That leads me to ask the question, have you?
I jerked off in my roommate's shampoo bottle.
Okay. Continue.
Yeah, he used it. I scrubbed the toilet with a toothbrush. I hated him.
Oh God, I just remembered a story. When we used to train back in England, Paul Kelly. He's a UFC fighter. Shout out Paul Kelly. Hope you well, mate. They pissed in the shampoo bottle of one of the people, and fucking the guy, and he went into, and he was fucking, he poured it all over his head and stuff. Yeah. One of, I mean, as you would, it's a shampoo bottle. You're in the shower. Yeah. You reach for the bottle, you pick it up, you pour it on you. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that till you just said that, reminded me. Oh my God, that was funny. But yeah, no, I've never done that. But you jerked off into a shampoo bottle.
I jerked off into a shampoo bottle, and yeah.
See, that's the thing. And we're going off on a bit of a slightly distasteful tangent here, but like, how do you climax in that position? You're like,
it was,
you know what I'm saying? Because for the sake of the practical joke and all the rest of it, I think I would struggle in that environment. That doesn't get me going.
You're right. It was actually the rapiest thing I've ever done. There was nothing sexual about it. It was just a pure act of aggression. I was just trying to hurt this guy. I was trying to sexually hurt this man.
The rapiest thing you've ever done? Maybe just choose your words better next time. Harrington, let's get off this subject. And what else you got, bud?
Okay. Well, I just saw this. The odds have been announced for the bantamweight rematch between Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling. Piotr Jan is a -270 favorite. Aljamain Sterling, the champion, +230. Gentlemen, what do you think about Vegas's tilting of the odds towards?
Why would you do that? Why would he phrase it in such a way? We know why Piotr is the favorite, because he was winning the fight. Piotr was winning the fight, and that's just a sad reality. As you know, we love Aljamain on here. He's joined us, and I hope he joins us again, and I wish him all the best in the fight. I really do. But he was losing that fight, and then he lost by a disqualification. If you look at that fight, you would have Piotr as the favorite. It doesn't mean Aljamain can't win.
Do you agree with how wide the spread is?
What was it? -270 to a
minus
plus
270, what? +240, was it, Arrington?
+230, I think. 230. Yeah, I do. Only because Piotr was having, he was having a lot of success. He was winning that fight kind of handily. As I say, as I always say, every fight is different. So there's no reason why Aljamain can't come back and do very, very well. But if I had to pick a winner and my life depended on it, or my bank balance depended on it, of course I'd go Piotr Jan. You know, but I wish Aljamain all the best, but that's not really shocking, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the spread is, that's probably exactly where I would put it as well. Yeah, and I love Aljo, and I'm rooting for Aljo in the rematch. And who knows, he might be able to come back and take all that data in and come back and put it on him. But yeah, Piotr Jan looked incredible when they were fighting.
Yep. No, he did. You know, this weekend, I'm kind of glad that I'm not doing the post-fight interviews, because Paul Felder will be doing it this week. As I say, Uriah Hall and Sean Strickland. And they're both great fighters, but let's be honest, neither of them like me. And I have not done anything bad to either man. I think Sean's all
right. Does Uriah Hall not like you?
Remember last time? I told you, when Derek Brunson fought Kevin Holland, I said, oh, Derek Brunson, as Derek was making his walk, we've got to hype them up. We've got to build the fighters. We've got to talk about their resume. And oh, I said, right. I said, Derek's had some inconsistencies. You know, I said, but sometimes he's great. Like, look at the time he knocked out Uriah Hall. And I got a tweet. He didn't knock me out, dickhead, or something like that on Twitter. So, of course, I double checked it on Wikipedia, and it was a TKO knockout, technically a knockout. Same thing. I'm trying to hype the guy. It wasn't a sentence.
Well, you're not a dickhead. You're technically a dickhead.
Yeah, whatever. But it wasn't a sentence designed to damage the reputation of Uriah Hall. At that moment in time, Derek Brunson's walking in. I'm trying to hype him up to the crowd and show the audience what this man is capable of. And it was technically a knockout. So
technically a compliment when you really break it down, because you're pointing out the fact that he is beating somebody of note. You're not naming some bum.
That was my point, precisely my point. And anyway, so we went back and forth on Twitter for a bit. I was having a bit of fun. I wasn't thinking about the next time I have to commentate his fight and potentially do an interview with him. But fortunately, Paul Felder's doing it. I've got nothing against you, Ray Hall. I think he's a great fighter, and I'm looking forward to this weekend. But Sean Strickland's done it as well. Calls me, he quoted 1776 to me, calls me a liberal, all this type of stuff. Talks a lot of shit to me, to be quite
question.
Frank.
All right, fine. This is great. This is a great moment. It's a great question right now.
Please go ahead. Is it better than Harrington's?
Way better.
You should think so.
You should just let me do the hammer fisting. Let's kick Harrington off the show. I'll do the hammer fisting questions.
All right, in future, you do it. It's hammer fisting with Lewis.
Yeah, it's way better. Okay.
It is better.
So you are on a ledge. You're on a ledge. Okay. It's the apocalypse, right?
Is this a high ledge?
A crazy high ledge, top of building. It's like a movie scene. There's this shit exploding. There's a helicopter. There's a helicopter right behind you. And you have both your hands out, okay? And you're fucking ripped, by the way. You're not wearing a shirt. You're fucking glistening, dude.
Oh, let's take the shirt off now, man. Oh, baby, baby.
In one hand, you got Sean Strickland. The other hand, you got Uriah Hall. But you're slipping. You're very strong, but you're not that strong. These guys, both of them miss weight. They're both waiting for their fight at 7 pounds each, 192 pounds. They both missed by 7 pounds. So you just don't got it in you to save both their lives. One man is going to fall to his fiery death. You're killing one man. By saving one man, you're killing the other. Michael Bisping, which man do you save? In essence, I'm really asking you, which man do you kill?
I'm not killing anybody.
Killing one of them, technically. We're all talking about technicalities. The whole show is about technicalities today. Technically, you're killing one of these guys, Uriah Hall, Sean Strickland. Which guy do you pull back up to safety and ride off in your helicopter with?
Well, that's the name of today's show. Technically a knockout. The Sean Strickland, Uriah Hall breakdown, and much more. Who do I kill? Who do I live? Let live. I don't know. I'd have to ask them some questions real quick. I say, I'm running out of strength, but still real quickly. Sean, what are you going to get me for Christmas? Uriah, do you agree Derek Brunson knocked you out? I know you are sleeping. What is going on? I don't know. Could I just let them both go? I said, fuck you, lads. Sorry.
Just two middle fingers.
See you, boys. Good luck down there. Practice your break falls on the way down. Anyway. What do you think, Sean Strickland, Uriah Hall, Lewis? Who wins? I can't predict.
Dude, Sean Strickland's been killing it, dude. Four in a row. I think that he looks huge, dude, in the gym. I'm surprised that he fought at 170. I forgot about that. I'm gonna say Sean Strickland, and he's a Ruka guy, right? You gotta root for the Ruka guys.
Yeah. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. I am excited because Uriah is very, very good. He's an insane striker. He is. He's very athletic. He's very good. Been working with Saif Sayoud at Fortis MMA, so he's been working on the mental side of things as well. And he's got a great coach. He's got a fantastic coach. Strickland, on the flip side, he's younger. He's just got that natural dog in him. And Strickland's really good on the ground. Really good. I'll tell you a little story. First time I ever trained with Sean Strickland, I went up to Millennium MMA in the Inland Empire, California, to train with Lorenz Larkin. I used to do a bit of training with Lorenz, and Strickland was there. So we were doing the rounds, sparring in the room, and I did a little sparring with Strickland. And nothing much happened. It was just like a gentle spar, do you know what I mean? It's like very polite, whatever. I got the better of it, but it wasn't a big deal. And then when we finished sparring, he goes, just want to let you know, I'm way better on the ground. I said, what? He said, well, I'm pretty good on the feet, but guess what? I'm way better on the ground. I'm like, all right, it's a weird thing to say, weird flex, but okay. Strickland, he's got that fire in him. Do you know what I mean? He's a cocky motherfucker, and he can fight, and he's really good on the ground. Striking has got better, but it's a really tough stylistic matchup for both men. You know, it's weird because Sean's got good jiu-jitsu, but he hasn't got the best wrestling. I'm not saying he can't wrestle, but he's not like a wrestling powerhouse. I think he'll struggle to take Uriah down. On the feet, I think Uriah's probably got the bigger power. He's got the more diverse skill set, certainly in terms of kicks. You know, Sean kicks a little bit, but he's mainly with the hands. It's a close fight. I think it's a close fight. I really do. And it might come down to who's got more heart and will. You know, and I think Sean has a lot of heart, but still, I'm not making a prediction. It's a good fight. You know, it is a high-level MMA, and, you know, we could see potentially a new contender for whoever wins.
Yeah, this seems like it's been a for as much as you're claiming that you and Sean Strickland rub each other the wrong way, it's been a fucking advertisement for Sean Strickland. He should be paying us ad read rates.
He should be 100%. Hey, listen, he's the main event this weekend. We're going to talk about it. Simple as that. And it's going to be a great fight. Wish him all the best. A lot of talent on the undercard as well. But what are your plans this weekend, Lewis?
This weekend, I got shows at Uncle Vinny's. In fact, I'll do plugs real quick. Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. If you guys are in the area, come out and hang out. We're going to hang out at the beach all weekend. And then next week, I'll be at the Stress Factory with the Return of the Depraved. And BJ Ryan's coming up in Connecticut. I'm doing Saratoga Springs coming up at the beginning of August as well. Go to lewisofskanks.com to grab tickets for any of those shows. If you guys love the show, subscribe to us on iTunes, on YouTube, anywhere you can download a podcast or watch a podcast. You can probably find the Believe You Me podcast. Leave us 5-star ratings and all that stuff. The reviews are always great. We love the positive feedback and the comments. We always read the comments on YouTube as well. We really do. When I'm bored, if I'm like traveling, I scroll through all the comments and I stop myself and tell you to go fuck yourselves all the time. But I'm reading it, just so you know. I am reading it. And
So am I. And a lot of the time, I even comment and people say, this is not Michael Bisping. I'm like, for fuck's sake, it is. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah, get the entire On Demand library. Every episode of the show that we've ever done are all ad-free, uncensored, and in one place on one website. GasDigitalNetwork.com is the website. You can go there and listen from the beginning. Go back and listen to how we've grown as podcasters and as friends and as men and fathers and all that other stuff. And yeah, that's really it for the plugs.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, anything else before we get out of here? Anything burning desire on your mind, Harrington? Anything we missed that we need to talk about? Any breaking news that perhaps we can, you know, give our little bit of insight on? I think the answer to that is no. So on that note, we will say farewell. We'll say have a great weekend. Stay safe. Be happy. Get vaccinated. Wear a mask. Don't get vaccinated, but don't blame it on the vaccinated people, because I heard that one yesterday. Oh, it's the vaccinated people that are spreading it. I'm like, get fucked. Stay off Fox News. And until then, much love. Adios. Sayonara. I'm going to Cancun on Monday. Very excited. Sunday, we'll be back with it. Well, regular time, but recording on Sunday. Until then, take care.